You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Brunswick Regional Water and Sewer, H2GO, popularly known as H2GO, is a water and sewer utility in Brunswick County that serves the northeast portion of the county, including Leland, Belleville, parts of Nevassa, and some customers outside of these municipal boundaries. In total, it equates to slightly more than 10,000 water customers and nearly 6,000 sewer customers. Utility officials say they expect their customer base to double within the next quarter century. H2GO currently buys finished water from Brunswick County Public Utilities. And since 2011, H2GO has worked towards building its own reverse osmosis plant. Constructing a $30-plus million plant is controversial, with opponents concerned the project is not necessary and would saddle consumers with higher utility rates. Supporters say, especially in light of the recent discovery of decades-long contamination in the local drinking water supply, having an independent source of clean water is crucial. H2GO is governed by a five-member board of commissioners who serve staggered four-year terms. There are three open seats this year. Two incumbents are seeking re-election. Joining us now is Bill Beer. He's been a resident of Leland for 5 years. Before moving to Brunswick County, he spent nearly 39 years with Betts Labs and GE Water in water treatment. During that time, he says he managed global technology development. Bill Beer served as chairman for the Water Treatment Committee International Water Conference and also the Cooling Technology Institute. He says he holds a number of water treatment patents and has published technical papers in professional journals. Bill Beer, welcome to Coastline.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
And you can ask your own question of Bill Beer on this live Thursday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. Bill Beer, tell us about your professional background and what all that means. You say you've published technical papers. What has been the focus and in which journals?
Well, I've published in the AWW, well, Iron and Steel journals, Cooling Water Journal. I've co-authored sections of the Betts Handbook for Industrial Water Conditioning, and that is the preeminent source of water treatment technology out in the industry right now. Most of that that work has been done, my papers that have been published have related to cooling water in industrial applications and commercial applications.
And does that relate to nuclear technology?
Oh, absolutely. I came down here originally on business in this area about close to 40 years now, and worked with Progress Energy at the Southport nuclear plant, and principally in their cooling water area. So it's a critical cooling in the reactors and what have you. And those systems all require sophisticated type of treatment approaches.
So that is water treatment, but that's very different from treatment of a drinking water supply, is it not?
No doubt about it. My product line also included potable water treatment, and that involved corrosion inhibitors, disinfectants, things that, and coagulant aids, all the different specialty chemicals that treatment plants use. GE Water was the world's leader in reverse osmosis technology as well. So some of those chemicals that were in the product line were used as service chemicals for reverse osmosis systems. And I participated in the design of several large systems in the United States. One of which was the world's largest system in Hama, Saudi Arabia.
And where do you stand on H2GO's construction of their reverse osmosis plant?
Where do I stand as far as their plant? Well, first, before I answer that question, let me get this out on the table right off the bat. I do not oppose H2GO.
The existence of H2GO.
H2GO as an organization, their staff is wonderful. They do a tremendous job maintaining distribution systems, doing what little wastewater treatment that they do. And the service that I've received personally from them has been terrific. I think their staff and the people there are just wonderful. So I don't have, I want to get it straight, I don't oppose H2Go, which some people would have you have said. I oppose the project. And the principal reason why I oppose the
project. You oppose the construction of the RO project.
Exactly. And the reason for that is it's simply not needed. We have a utility in Brunswick County Public Utilities. We already have one. We don't need.
We don't have an RO plant.
We don't. We don't need an RO plant.
Okay.
Okay.
So the next, so the big looming question, the thing we haven't mentioned is GenX, this yes. unregulated chemical compound that we understand is only a tiny component of this chemical compound cocktail that flows through the drinking water supply. So okay. what do we do about that?
Okay, let me preface my answer with this. I don't have a problem with RO. Heck, I used to help market those things. And if through study it's determined that reverse osmosis is really the way to go, then it should be the county that builds it, not H2Go. H2Go doesn't have the experience. They've never made a drop of drinking water for anybody. The county has the critical mass, the economies of scale, to economically build a plant like that. They're the ones that should do it. If it's determined, that's the way to go.
So now, then Jane asks, well, if that's the answer, so you're talking about this idea of regionalism, this, you said, leveraging economies of scale.
Sure, absolutely. But getting back to your Gen X question, let's take a look at it, where it's at right now. Since Chemours has stopped discharging it, the levels have dropped below that which is used as a control in Europe. So it's around 16 to 20 parts per trillion.
That's Gen X.
That's Gen X.
And that's a tiny component of what of the potential toxins that are in the water.
Absolutely. But you asked about Gen X.
Yes.
So when you talk about the other
but
contaminants.
But that's a principle, though, because what it demonstrates the fact that this can happen.
Well, it's gotten all the press, hasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. It's one of many contaminants that you find in drinking water. The authorities, the control drinking water standards, basically say the water coming out of the treatment plant that the counties produce, whether you're talking about Cape Fear Public Utilities or we're talking about Brunswick Public Utilities, is safe. And it's all about the low levels that are in there. We're still, regardless of whether you're talking about Gen X or any of the other perfluorocarbon compounds in the water, the determination's been made by federal government, state government, that this is safe to drink. Yes, it has. The governor was on TV not long ago with the state epidemiologist making the statement, the water is safe to drink. Now, look, you realize that some people are concerned about that regardless. Look, they've been caught up with the news and what have you, and it's created some concern on people in people's minds, and they've made a public choice, a personal choice to not drink that water, to use bottled water, and that's fine.
Do you think it's hysteria? Do you, Bill Beer, personally think that the news treatment of the story about Gen X and those other chemical compounds that are unregulated, and so there isn't really an established health goal for a lot of these compounds yet. There mm-hmm. are no standards. Mm-hmm. So saying the water is safe to drink is different from saying we can't say that it's not safe to drink.
Well, in the world of science, you can't prove a negative.
Okay.
So you can't, you say, prove to me that it's not safe to drink.
My point is that they're unregulated because we don't have the science yet for a lot of these.
There are 70,000 compounds. 70,000 compounds. You can't test for them all. Okay. Based upon the information in the regulating authorities, the water as it currently is safe to drink. Now, as new chemicals are identified and come out, they should be handled as they come up. So, you can say look, no water is perfectly clear or clean. There's always a contaminant in water. You know, if you're willing to measure it to the parts per trillion, you're going to find something, okay? And I don't know if many people understand what a part per trillion really means. Rachel, I don't know if you know what it means, but I try to put it in terms of a whiskey shot, a shot of whiskey, or a shot of vodka. And you put that shot of vodka in a million tanker cars, a train tanker car, that's a part per trillion. A million tanker cars, a shot of vodka. That doesn't make a martini.
So okay. It sounds, is it a fair characterization then of what you're saying to say that all of the news coverage about these unregulated and emerging chemical compounds has generated hysteria? It sounds like you don't think that the level of public discussion that we're having about it and the public concern over the water supply is really warranted given the reality.
No, I don't think that's completely fair. I think it's warranted to have a discussion. And look, nobody wants these chemicals in there. I don't want them in there. And the people who are discharging them should stop. Okay? Having said that, I'm also very aware of what the law says. So there are elements in the Clean Water Act and the discharge permits that allow them to discharge certain things. As these new chemicals emerge and are identified, then we should handle those things as they come one by one. But until such time that it's determined that your water's not safe to drink, I'm drinking it, my wife drinks it, when my kids come to visit, they drink it. You know, that's where I'm at right now on this thing.
And do you have any filtration systems in your house,
no.
in your own?
No.
So you drink it as it comes out of the tap?
Absolutely. Except for maybe the refrigerator has a filter in it that came with it. I don't, you know, I'm probably not too diligent in changing that out. But, you know.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today we're meeting Bill Beer, who's seeking a seat on H2GO's Board of Commissioners. You have just a few minutes left to ask your own question on this live Thursday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. James writes, the EPA, the NIH, and the CDC have all issued health advisories for synthetic compounds like Gen X. Plus, the dioxin in the water is carcinogenic. These compounds are particularly detrimental to children and women of childbearing age. Wouldn't it be judicious, writes James, to use a readily available pristine water source that does not contain any of these contaminants? What's your answer to James?
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't realize that was a question, so excuse me. First of all, no water source is pristine. The water source that is going to go through the reverse osmosis, the proposed plant, is salt water. It's pretty crummy water, and the only way to clean it up is with a reverse osmosis plant.
Are you talking about water coming out of the river or water coming from the aquifer?
The aquifer.
That's briny.
That's briny. That's the well water that they're going down 600 feet to get that water.
So despite what we've heard from other candidates, you can't just dip a cup into that water and drink it.
Oh, no. No, it would hurt you if you did that. But interesting point about this reverse osmosis plant, and a lot of people don't talk about it, is the wastewater. For every 4 gallons you make, you discharge a gallon and 0.2 or 1.2 gallons of wastewater. And, oh, by the way, that wastewater has radioactive elements in it. And one of the reasons why their discharge permit is under litigation right now is because of that. So, you know, there's a price to pay, you know, when you do anything, when you're treating water. I'm not saying that you don't have waste from traditional water treatment methods, but it's much lower as a percentage of the water you're making.
One candidate who supports this RO plant mm-hmm. said that the wastewater would just go right back into the river, which, and it's the same constant, it would be the same concentration of salinity. And it's like pouring pasta water back into pasta water.
Well, that's if you mix it. And what they're doing is they're counting on the fact they're going to use the river to dilute down that salt water to a lower level. So, okay, I guess you're calling that the solution to pollution is dilution. Okay. And the law, the same law that allows them to make that claim, allows Chemours to discharge their chemicals in the water as well.
Okay, Bill Beer, just a minute left. Tell us, let's say you're elected, we're getting to the end of your four-year term. What has happened? What has changed because of your presence on the board?
Well, one thing that's changed is we're going to take a close look at affordability. Affordability is a key factor. You know, the area that we're on, that we live in, is 15% below the poverty level. So what we're going to have is we're going to have an affordability index with our water and protect the people who can't afford to buy the water.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Bill Beer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rachel. It was a pleasure being here.
Pleasure having you here. Thanks also to Bob Corriston and Aaron King. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Associate producer is Rachel Keith. Production assistant is Caitlin Hanrahan. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. Get the podcast or find it on the WHQR app. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 2. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.